help us to commence this evening with hymn 1080. To Jesus, our victorious Lord, the praises of our lives belong. Forever be his name adored, sweet theme of every thankful song. 1080. Thank you.
Let us read together from two portions of Scripture. First, from the book of Job, Job chapter 23, and then from the book of Psalms, Psalm 25. First reading together, book of Job, chapter 23, and then the book of Psalms, Psalm 25. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered for ever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept, and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face." Psalm 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions, according to thy mercy. Remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. May the Lord bless those two readings of his word to us and help us to call upon him in prayer. O Lord, our God, who art merciful, kind, and gracious to us, look thou upon us, Lord. See how that we've come before thee, Lord, at this time. O Lord, we bring nothing but sin, and thou knowest, O, that we are indeed but sinful dust and ashes. Thou hearest our prayers, thou hearest our cries, thou seest, Lord, our sorrowing hearts, for that we feel, Lord Jesus, the solemnity of all our sins, word, thought, and deed, and the confession, and day by day, the body of death, that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, when I would do good, evil present with me. O Lord, a wicked and deceitful heart, O desperately wicked, Lord, look down upon us in thy rich mercy, and O, appear for us, Lord, and show our peace and pardon through thy blood. We thank thee, Lord, that we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous was made a propitiation for our sins, not for our sins only, oh, but the mercy, the sins of the whole world, the church. And Lord, we thank thee that thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we have no other hope but in thy precious sin-atoning blood. O, that healing balm, O, that Lord indeed, that can remove all guilt and all defilement. O Lord, we do thank thee that thou dost appear for us, and we see again and again the blessedness of the whole gospel, those two gracious words love and forgiveness. O Lord, help us to thank thee, to praise and to bless thy name for thy redeeming love and blood shed for sinners at Calvary's tree. Help us then, Lord, to draw near to thee at this time. We come before thee, Lord, again, in much weakness and insufficiency, in and of ourselves. We look to thee, Lord. O Lord, come to our help. Come to our need. Lift up our hearts above these inferior things here below, and draw us effectually to thyself, that we might know what it is again to seek union and fellowship with thee. And Lord, draw near to each one of us, we pray thee. O Lord, thou seest, Lord, our hearts, the desires. And Lord, we do believe, yes, we have come to the means of grace because, Lord, of the influence of thy grace in and upon us. And pray, Lord, that we may again be blessed in our souls, that thy grace may abound. O Lord, come to us in thy word. O Lord, thy servant Job esteemed thy word more than his necessary food. Oh, he wanted that milk and wine of the kingdom to flow out of Zion into his poor soul, to live upon the word and upon all the blessings of a God in covenant with his people, all his gracious promises, to have God again revealed in his in his mercy, his grace, his goodness, and his favours and blessings towards his people, his gracious promises, all revealed and blessed to us through the person of his dearly beloved Son. And Lord, O Lord, that thou wouldest appear to each one of us, that we may know these blessings in our souls this evening hour. O Lord, we do pray, come to each case and come to each need. We pray thee, we are poor things in and of ourselves. But O Lord, it is thou alone that can make our poor souls rich in the things of Jesus Christ, revealing the unsearchable riches of Christ. And oh, what unsearchable riches there are in a precious Christ, the richness of his love, the richness of his grace that was poured into his lips, that it might be poured out again into the souls of poor, needy sinners, the richness of his mercy in his redeeming love and blood. And oh, that mercy, that pity and compassion that thou dost show, dear Lord, unto all those that come unto thee, feeling a need of thee, and thy gracious word towards them, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. O Lord, may it be the blessing this evening to enter into that spiritual gospel rest that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might find peace and pardon for our souls. Do come then, Lord Jesus. Oh, we do believe that that mad Gadarene was so blessed. Oh, the blessed change, the grace that came to him, and that he was one indeed found and at thy feet and in his right mind. Oh, Lord, we're brought to see again, is there anything too hard for the Lord. Oh, to see that mad Gadarene and that one indeed so far gone, with all those devils and spirits in him acting in different ways and forms, and yet, Lord, in his right mind. Oh, Lord, do come to each one of us, we pray thee, and that right mind to worship thee and to serve thee and to give glory and praise unto thee. Oh, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt appear to each one of us, that we may each be found as that man. And oh, did he not rejoice? Oh, did he not seek to follow thee, dear Lord? But thou didst send him forth to his own brethren and to his own friends to go and tell them the great things that Jesus hath done for him. Lord, we do pray that there may be those here. We pray for everyone, that they may be able to speak of the great things that Jesus has done for them, not being ashamed to profess his name, not being ashamed to speak of that grace that saves sinners, not being ashamed to speak of Jesus in the room and place of the sinner upon Calvary's tree. O Lord Jesus, we do pray that thou wilt appear, and that there may indeed be those that shall be drawn to thee by the cords of thy love, and oh, to be enabled to bear testimony and witness of thy saving grace. O Lord, do come then, be with us again this evening hour. We seek thy presence once more, and the anointing of thy Spirit to come upon each one of us, that we might be helped to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we do pray, bless us each with a teachable spirit, that we might learn and know of thee, here a little and there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, going on to know the Lord. Oh, Lord, we do pray. Oh, it isn't the amount that we know. Oh, but it is that thou wilt reveal and show to us. The dying thief did not know much, but he knew that mercy that flowed through thy precious blood to cleanse him and to heal him from all his sins and iniquities, and a transgressor. And yet, Lord, oh, thou didst fulfill that holy law of God for and on his part, and that he was one indeed looked upon by God the Father as though he had never broken that law at all. Such, Lord Jesus, did thou appear and honour that gracious law for us and in us, and we, Lord, are brought to thank and to praise and bless thee. But he knew thee to be his Redeemer, his Saviour, and his Friend. And, O Lord, we thank thee that thou art indeed the Friend of sinners. And so, Lord, be with us again this evening hour. Keep our hearts and our minds stayed upon thee, and help us, Lord, that this evening hour we may glorify thee, that we might be the recipients of all the blessings of a God in covenant with his people, and that, Lord, we may be enabled by and through thy grace to see and to behold our future estate. Oh, what prospect is before thy people, what thou hast laid up for them that love thee. O Lord, do bring our poor souls to look beyond these creature things here below, this lower heavens, and to behold those things that thou hast reserved for thy people, and that thou, Lord Jesus, hast now entered into the inheritance for us, to gather us, to bring us to thee. And, O Lord, we do pray, that we may have some desire and some praise and blessing to thy name, that, Lord, we shall at the last be with thee and where thou art. Help us to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, we are poor things in and of ourselves, but pray that through thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt appear and apply these blessings to our souls. Teach us to know, Lord, the fewness of our days here upon the earth, that they are indeed as but a vapour that soon vanisheth away. But teach us to number our days. Teach us, Lord, more union and communion with thee. Teach us, Lord, that we might be helped to serve thee and to follow thee and to keep thy word and thy sayings in our hearts. Teach us, Lord, how that we may be helped to take up the scriptures of truth, to read and to behold those wondrous things shown to poor needy sinners in a full and free salvation, a gospel that holds good news, salvation to sinners. Teach us, Lord, that we might know in the ordinances of thy house what it is to live by faith upon thee, to live by faith upon thy word, to serve thee, to be found often at thy feet, as oft as we can, in the means of grace. O Lord, we do pray, come to us, to teach us to number our days, for our days are but few. Thou knowest the number of them, Lord. We don't know the number. O Lord, we do pray, prepare us for thyself. We pray thee, each one of us, the youngest to the eldest. And we do pray, Lord, that we may be helped to commit our all into thine ever-merciful hands. And do then, Lord, be with us in all our path, in all our concerns, in all our needs, here below, our businesses, our workplace, everything, Lord, that concerns us, that we may lay all into thine ever-merciful hands, and that thou wilt preside and govern and rule and manage over all our affairs and all our concerns here below, and that thou wilt give grace and wisdom, Lord, to go forth into these things in thy name. Help us to know the throne of grace, Lord. Oh, that place indeed that is so blessed to the souls of poor needy sinners, a God who is ever present and who is ever near to thy people and who is ready to hear their prayers and petitions, ready to come to their help and ready to come to their need. And, O Lord, we do pray that we might be helped prayerfully to commit all our path unto thee, those things that concern us providentially, then the important things that concern us spiritually and inwardly in our souls, to commit all to thee. And, Lord, our salvation. Oh, Lord, let us not neglect, Lord, our never dying immortal souls. Let us not pass by. That's the solemn blessing that eternity is before, the solemn truth that eternity is before us. And we do not know when we shall come into that eternity. But oh, may we know that grace that pardons sinners. Come, Lord, we pray thee to each one of us. What if ye should gain the whole world and lose your own souls? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Nothing then more important, nothing more solemn, nothing more needful than now never dying immortal souls. Lord, do work in us thy will and power, and help us to commit our souls to thee, and that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to save and to redeem us from all our sins. And so, Lord, be with us now as we once more seek thy face. Draw near to us, each one of us, and bless us with thy word. Bless us, Lord, with a portion for our souls, a living portion, Ruth's portion, a handfuls of purpose, those things that will do us good, those things that will build us up, those things that will edify us in the Lord Jesus Christ, those things that will put a need into our souls, those things that will put a love into our souls for Jesus, those things that will bring us to take up our cross and to follow him. Lord, we need thee at all times, in all seasons, and pray that thou wilt appear. Be with each unable to attend at this time. Where they are, Lord, draw near to them and bless them with thy presence. And, Lord, be with us as we seek to come together at the close of this service and around the ordinance of the Lord's Supper to remember thee, dear Lord, and the awful cost and the price that thou didst pay to put away all our sins at Calvary. Help thy servant, help him to speak in thy name and give utterance. And Lord, teach by thy Spirit, put thy word into his earthen vessel, and through thy Spirit take that word, bless it to thy people, that it may be purposeful and good to their souls, and that thy word may prosper this evening hour to thy honour and glory. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 1078. Dear Lord, and shall thy Spirit rest in such a wretched heart as mine? Unworthy dwelling, glorious guest, favour astonishing, divine. 1078.
Thank you.
Seeking the Lord's help once more, we would invite you to the psalm that we read this morning, Psalm 44, and to the words of the text that we held this morning, verses 16, 17, and 18. Psalm 44, verses 16, 17, and 18. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth, by reason of the enemy and avenger, all this is come upon us. Yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. We opened up one or two solemn truths in respect of verse 16, and it has been the solemn truth from the beginning of time, and it shall be to the end of time. The church will always have enemies, and there is one avenger, and he works mightily, deceitfully, craftily, subtly. Even Satan himself, the roaring lion, and all his agents, and all the instruments of evil and wickedness that he has at his hand, and the solemn influence that he has over all the earth, darkness, has covered the earth and gross darkness the people. It is this avenger, Satan. And he seeks at all times to bring reproach upon the name of the Lord. As much blasphemy upon him. And dear friends, how he is successful in the world today, in respect of that, bringing reproach. We just mentioned a few this morning throughout the scriptures, but in particular, in the day that the dear Lord Jesus walked this earth, see the blasphemy against his dear name. And you know, dear friends, he came to show mercy and pity. He came to do good. He healed. He restored. They saw his miracles. And they denied him. Blasphemed him. Would not have this man to reign over them. This blaspheming is anything that we may take that will blaspheme his name. Anything that is spoken against him. Anything that they can turn against him and bring about the very solemn truth that he was an impostor, a devil, and so forth. Blasphemy. And it was in the day of the dear Lord Jesus. And it was the so-called religious world, wasn't it? How misled they were. Oh, how they dwelt in that darkness and ignorance, their hearts by nature. And so it is today. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth, by reason of the enemy and avenger, How many voices are there today? Well, it's everywhere, isn't it? That speak against him, that blaspheme him. This day is as any other day, desecrated, blaspheming him, isn't it? Contradicting his word, coming against him, his worship. And then this truth. It is a mercy that there are some, a little remnant through grace, who would love his name, who would be devoted to him, who would serve him, and pass through all affliction and trouble and trial and persecution and bear it for his name's sake. Why is that, dear friends? Why is that? All this has come upon us, all this affliction, all this trouble, tribulation, trials, the reproaches, the persecutions. You know, the Lord's dear people, Jesus said, because he was hated, that they would hate his disciples or his apostles or his people also. And in general, yes, many may be tolerant, but to a point in respect of us. But what a mercy it is to suffer reproach and for his name's sake. All this has come upon us. Zion is but small, and Zion are but few, and Zion are but poor, Zion are helpless, they are weak and insufficient in and of themselves. Who can hold them up? Who can support them? Who can help them? Who can strengthen them? The Lord. How is that? Yet have we not forgotten thee. Yet have we not forgotten thee. These are the poor ones. These are the afflicted ones, the tried ones. Yet in all the afflictions and the troubles, yes, and the way that the church is looked upon today, and yet we would not forget thee. Oh, there's something most precious, dear friends, that has come into their lives. Something that their poor souls hang on to. Something that they can bear testimony and witness to. He says, ye are my witnesses. And dear friends, it is what the Lord has done and put within us. Born again by his Spirit is the truth and the blessing. And isn't this the truth? That they could reflect and look back. As I mentioned this morning, we have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what the Lord had done for them. Well, we can look back. We can look back. And it was a gracious time, dear friends. Because it was when the Lord began with us. When he began to work in us and to change us. Yes, and he afflicted us. Because he taught us and showed to us our sins. But it was a gracious blessing, wasn't it? If we look back, can see that truth in respect of the children of Israel. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I've also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Isn't this the mercy? I have seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrow. The Lord has put a cry into our poor souls, dear friends, in respect of our sins and iniquities, burdened our souls, troubled our souls. It is the work of Father, Son, and Spirit in the soul of a poor sinner. And this is the mercy that will flow out of that, this affliction, this trouble for sin, because sin is never to be esteemed or looked upon lightly. Never. God hates sin, the most abhorrent to him is sin, and he cannot make the least degree of allowance for it, none whatsoever. I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. Dear friends, isn't it a mercy that our God, yes, it's that way of grace that he will come to us, and it is to teach us our need of him and the solemn truth of our sins and iniquities. But were we not under the yoke of Satan, as these were under the taskmasters of Egypt? Isn't it there, dear friends, that we were his slave, as the children of Israel here were slaves to the Egyptians? Yes. But this is the truth. I am come down to deliver them. Dear friends, is that some hope in some poor soul? I am come down to deliver them. See that when Jesus came down, when he was sent by his heavenly Father, that work that he came to do. I am come down just where we were. Taskmasters, yes, the yoke of Satan upon us, in our sins and iniquities. And then this truth, yet have we not forgotten thee? We've not forgotten how thou didst come to us, Lord, how thou didst humble us, how thou didst break down all the hardness and the rebellion in our hearts, and where, Lord, thou didst bring us to nothing, feeling our sins and iniquities, because that is where sin will bring us, dear friends, to cry, but to be nothing. We will see, dear friends, the solemn truth of what we were by nature, and it will bring us to nothing. But the mercy of this cry, and it's a cry for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord came. He came and redeemed and saved us, washing away all our sins, blotting them out forever. And remember the truth of that, that they should never again be remembered anymore. We think that, can God forget anything? But he said, I will remember their iniquities no more. Such was the blessed and glorious sacrifice of the dear Lord Jesus. Oh, so sufficient was it. A sacrifice, dear friends, and where Jesus found in the room and place of the sinner and laid down his life so willingly and lovingly for his people. And then the mercy that he cried, it is finished, the work was done. Every poor soul that his heavenly Father gave to Jesus to save, they were safe in that very moment, every one of them. Though some of them were not yet born into this world, and yet every one of them was safe. Dear friends, when he cried, it is finished, the sins of the church were all pardoned. In our little experience here, and here upon the earth, we will come into the blessing of that, that our sins were pardoned by Jesus upon the tree at Calvary. And that precious blood, infinite precious blood of Jesus, applied to our consciences through the Spirit, cleansing us and healing us, removing all guilt and defilement, setting the prisoner free. This is grace. Dear friends, can we come into this truth yet? Have we not forgotten thee? How often I am brought to the cross, either in meditating or when the Spirit of the Lord will come upon me. Sweet the moments rich in blessing, which before the cross I spend. And dear friends, I remember the dear Lord. It's another way of saying, yet have we not forgotten thee. That glorious, blessed occasion where the sins of the whole church were put away by one perfect sacrifice forever in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet have we not forgotten thee. And this is our mercy, redeemed unto God the Father, that God is our God, reconciled unto him, that we are his children, sons and daughters. We are in the family of his grace. This is the blessing. And each and every one are clothed and adorned in the robe of Christ's righteousness, which can never be taken from them, never removed. Once in him forever. Yet have we not forgotten thee. And we haven't forgotten the Lord in the way that he has kept us and preserved us. We haven't forgotten the Lord, that he is that one that goes before us in the way. He is that one, dear friends, that shows and reveals to us all his characters and offices to meet our every need and case here below. And their wonderful offices and characters, because the church will never be without Jesus. They will never come into a situation where they haven't got some one indeed to come to their help and aid, their support and strength. No. Glorious offices and characters that he holds, particular prophet, priest and king. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And we do need him day by day and at all times. And we thank him for the throne of grace. And here we are blessed that we can approach God the Father, our Heavenly Father, who art in heaven. And through the merits and the person of his dearly beloved Son, our prayers and our petitions are heard, received through Jesus. O, our great High Priest above who ever liveth to make intercession for us. And is this the truth? Have we forgotten? Has he answered our prayers and petitions? Has he come to our case and need? Have we forgotten the times that he has come to us and met our needs? Dear friends, they come up into my poor mind. I remember, I don't know whether I've mentioned it or not, but a little while ago I was so poorly with a bad back, and Saturday came, could hardly move, the pain, could hardly get in and out of bed, hardly sleep. And Saturday came, I went to my bed, and I woke up in the early hours of Sunday morning. Such pain, could hardly move. And I got on the side of the bed. And I said, Lord, it is thy day. It was 3 o'clock on Sunday morning. It is thy day. And I am thy minister. And I preach thy word. Help me to come into thy pulpit, Lord. I went off to sleep again and woke up at 6 o'clock Sunday morning, and I hadn't got a pain in my body, not even a twitch. And I didn't have for that day at all. And I thanked the Lord for that. Dear friends, I do suffer with my back from time to time. But I only asked him that he would free me of the pain and help me to preach his gospel on his Lord's day. It came back on Monday morning. You know, he is a faithful God, isn't he? He will hear his people. He will come to their help. And then this, dear friends, yet have we not forgotten thee? What about the good things and the great things that the Lord has done for us, personally in our lives? Have we got anything to say about the Lord? Has he done something for us? We shall not forget him. That it is a living witness in the soul. That the Lord has appeared, shown his mercy, his grace, his help. He is our King. He rules and reigns in heaven's high court above for us, to manage for us in all our affairs and all our concerns here below. Have we got on without the Lord, dear friends? Have we managed without him? Do we commit all our path to him? The things in our daily lives, our homes, our workplace, everything. Do we not come to the close of a day? And isn't this the truth? This word of our text? Yet have we not forgotten thee? He has supplied all our needs. He has given to us the measure of health and strength according to his promise. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. He has brought us thus far. Have we lacked anything at his hand? Anything? He has provided for us, and then spiritually. What he has done for our poor souls. We call upon him and thank him that he has kept and preserved us in faith and love to him. Kept and preserved us in his word and in his truth. Kept us and preserved us as those that would worship constantly at his feet. We thank him that he has answered our prayers and our petitions. Yet have we not forgotten thee. And then there's this, dear friends, yet have we not forgotten thee. Another blessed and a glorious truth in respect of the Lord, that he comes and he speaks to us in the gospel as we assemble together, as he left a word in thy poor soul, as he comforted thee in some distress, in some trouble, some concern. Has he come with his word, dear friends, and strengthened thy poor soul with all might by his spirit in the inner man? Has he come to support thee? Has he confirmed again to our poor souls that we are journeying and that heaven and glory belongs to us? Paul was pressing toward the mark. He knew that there was a crown of righteousness awaiting for him. He knew. But is it so with us? And then this thing, this truth. Oh, we have not forgotten him in respect of his promises. No. Yet have we not forgotten thee. Oh, how faithful our God is to us. He's better to us than what we deserve. Yes. I feel to be so poor that I fail miserably to give to him the glory that is his due. And I have to admit that I'm a failure. He does so much, constantly and continually. And his love is the same. However many changes I might go through, his love is the same. It is constant. It is true. And so we have to remember him and not forget him in his long suffering and his forbearance towards us. That's the truth, isn't it? Yet have we not forgotten thee. Neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Can we make any denials, dear friends, in this blessed truth of this covenant of grace? One of the most wonderful and blessed truths of the gospel. The church today know very little of it. Father, Son, and Spirit. All enjoined and all in harmony. All in agreement. In respect of the salvation of the church. And it was a covenant of grace, and it was ordered in all things and sure. Oh, David was thankful for that. We are so thankful for that. But this covenant of grace, dear friends, was that was fully made known and blessed to us in time. But it was ordered before time began, and enrolled in the Lamb's Book of Life were a few names to which that covenant of grace belonged to them. And God the Father, in his love to the church, knowing that they would fall miserably and bear with them an Adam nature, a lost nature, gave the church to his dearly beloved Son, ordered in all things and sure. And David could say, yet he hath made with me. Well, he wasn't born, was he? But he has made with me. Why? It was made through Jesus. And that is where a covenant was made, and we can speak of it in a personal way. He hath made with me, with Jesus, an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Can we make any denials? Can we fall into some unbelief in respect of this covenant here, the covenant of God's grace? Neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. We have not gone back from this covenant. No. Oh, this covenant of grace, dear friends, it's so precious to the soul of a poor sinner. Because here is their whole salvation. Here are all the blessings that belong to everyone whose names are enrolled in that Lamb's Book of Life. They have the blessings of true doctrine, God's electing love, despised today by many, but his sovereign electing love. And then the blessedness of that salvation in the person of Jesus, that he would mediate between God and man, this man Christ Jesus, and the whole doctrine of the cross. A suffering, bleeding Christ in the room and the place of a sinner. And then the doctrine of redeeming love and blood, salvation unto the uttermost. And remember, dear friends, unto the uttermost, not only the uttermost sinner, but its uttermost, its salvation and eternal life. It came to that 500 pence debtor. You know, Simon the Pharisee looked upon that dear woman, and he poured scorn. He blasphemed the Lord Jesus, poured scorn upon the Lord Jesus. If this man were a prophet, he would know that this woman is a sinner, because she touched him. Isn't it a mercy? You see, Simon saw the outward part. He knew her life, but he didn't see the inward part. He didn't see that the king's daughter was all glorious within. He couldn't see that. No. He couldn't see the love of Jesus in her poor soul. No. He couldn't see that. He couldn't see this truth, that all her sins were pardoned. No. Wonderful covenant of grace, this, dear friends. And the kingdom of God is within you. It's what Christ has done and wrought in the soul. This is our mercy. And can we make any denials of that Jesus has done for us? Oh, it's the grandest work of redemption, dear friends. God's redemption for his people. It's in the person of his dearly beloved Son. It's his grandest work. It's above all creation. It's the work of grace in the soul of a poor sinner. That's God's work. Neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. We haven't gone back in that covenant. But then this, it's the whole of the gospel, isn't it? That's what it is. It's the whole of the gospel. Every promise, every blessing, all that Jesus is to his people. And this is the mercy today. As we gather together and worship him. What a mercy it is to be one of these who are brought to see the wonderful truth of this covenant of grace. It says that not one of them will be lost. Or those whom he has saved and redeemed, he will keep and preserve. Not one of them shall be lost. None shall pluck them out of my hand. No. And then the truth, dear friends, the promises of a God, the Lord's dear people are so poor, they're so faithful, and yet they have something here to hold on to. This covenant, dear friends, is a covenant ordered in all things and sure. The church will never be let down. They will never fall through that covenant. Underneath are the everlasting arms to support the church. And they were sealed in that covenant through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The blood that Jesus shed for sinners. Neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. But I want to speak of this as well. Dear friends, to all those who are seeking to know the Lord, seeking to know that they're inside of this covenant. And you know it is a prayer in all the congregations that I preach before, that the Lord would show his mercy to every one of them. And some of them have been a long time in the way, pressing and urging their case. But dear friends, urge thy case. Come to the blessing and the truth of the word of the Lord. Seek him whilst he may be found. The gospel is preached today, and this gospel holds good news of salvation. Let this salvation be uppermost in thy poor heart. Let it be above everything, dear friends. Yes, families, children, let it be above everything. It doesn't mean to say that we've got to neglect them. No. The salvation of thy soul is most precious. And then this truth. That the Lord Jesus has bidden his people to seek him and to look to him. Incline your ear. Are we hearing, dear friends? Have we come? Have we prayed for the hearing ear when we came to the Lord's house? Or is it just another time through the doors, through the worship, and back through the doors, unmoved, unconcerned? I say this because I have to confess that that was what it was with me. But then he gave an hearing ear. Incline your ear. It won't be of anything in and of ourselves, dear friends, to incline our ear. It will be by faith. It will give that faith. There's nothing in us to bring us to the Lord. No. And come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Where are those sure mercies of David? Of course, it means David's greater son. They're in Christ's finished work at Calvary. They're the sure mercies of David. Any poor coming sinner, dear friends, drawn to Christ, oh, there would be mercy for them. It was so with the publican. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Dear friends, I commit your souls to him. There is mercy with him. And it doesn't matter, dear friends, how deep and far thy sins are. He is able to save unto the uttermost. The 500 pence debtor, we've mentioned the mad Gadarene, Saul of Tarsus, dear friends, the woman of Samaria. And then this might be your portion. Neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant, because you've sought the Lord. The covenant is the whole of the gospel, really it is. Part of it is in Isaiah 53. Then the church will need to be kept and preserved when they've been brought to be blessed with redeeming love and blood. Who will keep them? The covenant. None shall fall through the covenant. He will keep and preserve. In all our paths, all our cares to be laid upon him, all our concerns, the very hairs of your head are all numbered, every one of them. Jesus is so intimately acquainted with each one of his dear people. Cost him, you know, dear friends. Laid down his life. Precious that, dear friends. Our heart is not turned back. I hope and pray that none of us will turn back. Some have turned back. And we may think, well, did the Lord really begin with them? We may think of that preaching of the Lord Jesus, that time in John chapter 6. And he spoke something that was very hard for them to understand and to receive. They'd followed him. They'd heard his sermons. And then he spake something, eating of my flesh and drinking of my blood. They couldn't understand it. They sort of thought it must have been something literal or something that had to be done. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. I often think of that, dear friends. They followed him, saw his miracles, heard his word, his preaching, saw his mercy, his pity and compassion, all the good that he came to do. Now they went back, never to walk with him anymore. Dear friends, I often think of them. The word seems to be so precise. Never walk with him anymore. I cannot think of the solemnity of what it is, dear friends. not to walk with Jesus anymore. The end of those disciples. A solemn end. Turning back. And then we think of Demas. Paul seemed to commend him at one time. Demas is with me. And then he must have been a little deceived, Paul, in respect of Demas. But all this truth, in respect of him, Demas hath left me for this world. I cannot think of anything more solemn than that. I pray that our dear young friends amongst us may never turn back. Peter said, "Thou hast the words of eternal life." That was the precious thing to his soul. And he wanted to live by that word. But Demas hath left, forsaken me, having loved this present world, and departed unto Thessalonica. Solemn truth, dear friends. Turning back. We've not turned back. And then we read together in respect of poor Job. You know, he was an afflicted man, wasn't he? He was very tried in his path. But oh, we read together that truth in respect of him. Though his circumstances were so trying, and his three friends came, and in some measure, you know, they used the words of blasphemy. Oh, their words weren't right in respect of Job. They didn't consider solemnly enough in their hearts in respect of Job. Oh, they turned him to be a sinner in one place, that he'd done some evil sin. They made a judgment of him. But this truth, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Dear friends, that word kept him, didn't it? That word. We may say that it's the whole of the scriptures, the known scriptures that they had at that time. His word. It was generally termed the law. The scriptures that they had at that time. He hasn't gone back. Oh, his word was so precious his word was so precious to his soul. And isn't this the truth here for the church today? Our heart is not turned back. What a mercy it is. In all our trying circumstances, in all the opposites that we meet with, in all the temptations of the devil, and the way that seemed to be so crooked, the afflictions, the infirmities, the sicknesses, the diseases, and yet we have not turned back. We have not turned back from the Lord. No. Why is it, dear friends? Remember this truth. All this has come upon us. Everything is ordered for the church, dear friends. All our afflictions, all our troubles, all our trials, as with Job, they're all ordered by the Lord. They're appointed for us. Dear friends, we would not murmur and complain in respect of them. But are not they those things that work together for good? To them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose? Yes. Neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant, our heart is not turned back. It is only the Lord that will keep us and preserve us. It's what he has done and wrought in us. It is the influence of his love, his grace in our hearts, his fear in our hearts. And what did he say in respect of that fear in our hearts? He said, I will put my fear into their hearts, that they shall not turn from me. That fear that is an unctuous light to all that's right, and a bar to all that's wrong. Neither have our steps declined from thy way. Well, dear friends, it was David's desire to know the ways of the Lord. Teach me thy ways. And it isn't as if he didn't know the ways of the Lord, but he wanted to be brought more deeply into the ways of the Lord. He wanted the ways of the Lord to rest in and upon his soul. He wanted the commandments of the Lord. Oh, in Psalm 119, his statutes and his commandments and his law, how David delighted in them, to do them. Neither have our steps declined from thy way. And it means all goings. Neither have our goings declined from thy way. Dear friends, let us seek grace to follow in the ways of the Lord. What is it? It's in the ordinances of his house, keeping his commandments, doing his will, honouring him and serving him, and that it is such a pure and a holy sacrifice and a privilege to be found in the Lord's house. Let us come to the Lord's house in his ordinances, where he will meet with his people. Never let it be a burden to us to come to him. And the prayer meetings, do not forsake them. Some do, dear friends, I know this. They think that the prayer meeting doesn't belong to them. But, dear friends, prayer is that that will take the poor sinner to heaven. By prayer, let us not neglect the prayer meetings. It is glory to God to hear the prayers of the saints, or privilege so to pray to the Lord. Let us be of one heart and one mind, in union and fellowship one with each other. This is the place where brotherly love continues. And this is the place where the church is enjoined together in union and fellowship. The ways of the Lord. He has prescribed it for us. It is set down in holy writ. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Come to the Lord's house. Dear friends, there may be a blessing in it. And isn't that what we want? Another token? And then, dear friends, the ordinances of the Lord's house. Oh, let us not forget and neglect, dear friends, that baptism, passing through the waters of baptism, professing the name of Jesus. These are ordinances, dear friends. The Lord has well approved of them. They're a heavenly approvement. And then, dear friends, the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Let us never neglect that, dear friends. When we remember Jesus, Remember what he came to do for us. His sufferings and his death. The love that he showed to us. And the mercy of our God. In the cross of Christ to sinners. And the heaven that he has opened up to us. Through his precious blood. The ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Let us seek the Lord to be a part of all these blessings. It says here, neither have our steps declined from thy way. Lord, help us to be faithful to thee and glorify thee in our walk and path and conversation, in our worship and devotion to him. Amen.
Last Lord's Day amounted to £685, for which we are very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Izzard. Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Richard Field next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday School. And the collection next Lord's Day, God willing, will be for the Christian Concern. Let us close with hymn 135. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. 135.
we pray that thou wilt bless the services of thy house this day and all that has been consistent with thy truth. Pardon and forgive everything that has been amiss and sinful with us, and take us to our homes in peace. Be with us in all our path, direct all our steps. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, O Lord, bless thy Spirit upon each one of us now and forevermore. Amen.